want to welcome you back. We've had a two-week sabbatical because of the incredible rhythm events that took place all over North America. I know that there were several thousand people that got to take part of that, was involved with actually our guest, with the one here in Portland, Oregon, and absolutely incredible. Just motivating and invigorating and life-altering, and was up in New York and Connecticut the past few days. And with the group up there, and they had like 80 people at their event in Connecticut, which was a huge milestone for them. And so just want to remind everybody, February 23rd, get that date on your calendar, make it concrete, start working to getting your people lined up for it. It'll be the start of a new year, and lots of stuff happening. And then also, as well as that, mark your calendars, December, it would be the 3rd, this coming Monday, 6 p.m., don't miss, that 6 p.m. West Coast time, don't miss the December kickoff call. You're going to want to hear what is going on at NECN. So just a couple quick reminders up front. Tim Nyholt. And many of you read his little blurb that I put out in an email. Started out at an early age of 13, an entrepreneur, going into the dairy business, then changed that up after university into becoming the military man, and then back to the States into the insurance industry, which is most of his adult life, and now a full-time wellness consultant residing in Central Oregon. And Tim, did you actually call Bend your home? Or is
that's because that's where Joyce lives, and I love living with her.
That's a good thing. Wherever the wife lives, that's a good idea to go ahead and hang your hat there. Tim, when I look at your story and where you've come from, and you and I have had many conversations because we live in the great Pacific Northwest, so we get to see each other at different events from time to time. 13 years old, going into business with your brother, buying a dairy from your sister. Now, is this something that she pawned off on you guys to get back at you? I'm curious about that. Most of all, when I look at your background, what happened? How did that start?
Well, I got to clarify one thing. It's a dairy distributorship.
Okay.
In other words, we were delivering milk, and my older brother had started this, and we lived in the town of Sprague up in eastern Washington, a little cow town up there, and he had he bought that business or developed it, and then when he graduated from high school, he sold it to my sister. And at that time, my sister was 5 years older than my twin brother and I, and we were forced into indentured servitude working for her. And so she would drive this truck, 4:30 in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, she would drive the truck, and we would deliver milk to the town of Sprague, to the public school and to the Catholic girls' school there in the town. And we did that, and then when she graduated, we bought it from her. And actually, because we were only 13 at the time, we couldn't drive. They frowned upon us driving that truck.
Well, I would imagine probably for good reason.
Yeah. So we had to actually hire a high school guy to drive the truck for us.
Okay.
And we would deliver it, but we would go out then, and when we weren't delivering milk, we'd go out and bring in new customers, make contacts, and we would also go out and collect money when people didn't pay on time. The funniest thing was, back in the 60s, when that was going on, early 60s, it was nothing for us to, because we would hunt and we walked everywhere, would be to walk through town with our English setter dog to go hunting, and carrying each one of us carrying a shotgun to stop by somebody's house to pick up the money they owed us.
So you didn't even need to hire, Luigi and Guido. You just did it yourself in hunting attire.
Yeah, my dad just said, you got to go collect the money. Go do it. So we learned to do that.
And you did that up until you entered the military, or you went to college first? I can't remember.
Until we sold that business just at the start of the second semester or last semester of our senior year in high school.
Okay.
My folks said, you guys might as well finally be able to sleep in for a change, and we sold the business. But that, that business really helped us out because it helped pay for a lot of college and a couple motorcycles and cars, and things that we did because folks said, if you want it, you've got to buy it.
Mm-hmm. So you learned the entrepreneurial spirit early on.
Yes.
And transitioning into military and then into insurance, and you did that for quite a while, and you mentioned to me that there was a certain amount of stress. You went out of the traditional insurance into more of a training mode and training other agents. I know from my background in pastoral ministries that when you're inputting and training and putting yourself into other people, there's always a feeling of, you know, satisfaction and fulfillment in that. Where did the stress come? Was that from the corporation as far as submitting yourself as an employee, or what, you know, what brought that about?
Well, from the corporation. I had a business doing this. I sold my my insurance agency over in Othello and then moved to Olympia, Washington, and started recruiting and training agents. And we had quotas that were given to us as the managers, but we could not pass them on to the agents. And we had to make the production quotas, and we had to make also the recruiting quotas. And the we'd done a lot of analysis of this, and when I started, I had 9 agents outside of Olympia and about 12,000 policies. And when I finally sold it, I had 32 agents and 46,000 policies. And I was making quite a bit, making very good money, but the problem was sometimes I'd be working 70, 80 hours a week. And I was on the road a lot because I had agents in 4 counties, so it was not unusual for me to be putting 4 to 5,000 miles a month on my car. And the stress came because there's a lot of downsizing in the insurance industry, and at the corporate level, they were getting rid of people. And I remember talking to the regional manager for Farmers who I was working with, and he said, you know, he just came back from a meeting with Allstate, and they had a region about the same size of ours, and they ran it with 102 people where we had 2,000.
Hmm.
And I said, the handwriting's on the wall, because he wasn't talking about, you know, the agents and the managers that were recruiting agents, because we were all independent contractors. He was talking about salaried employees, and they started cutting people and doing that. And then they came to us and said, you guys are making the big bucks, and we're not going to provide this function anymore. You're going to have to hire these people or hire some people to do that if you want it to be a bunch of people to have it. And I was in a crunch because I had a big office. I had a lot of overhead. In fact, my overhead ran about 67%. And I'm going, where's it going to come from? And, we're trying to figure that out. And I internalized it. Guys, we go to our caves and we hide and we think and we ruminate on things. And that's what I was doing. And I was not getting rid of it. And I'm still trying to run as hard as I always done. But it got to me. And, we found Nikan. I wasn't doing anything with Nikan at the time, go to some of the meetings and the wellness reviews, but Joyce was doing that. But she came home in June of 99 and found me on the floor. And the cardiologist, when the next day, in fact, she told, don't let him have a telephone. And when you're wired up for sound and you're in a critical care unit, I'm going, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I'm ready to listen. Mm-hmm. And this cardiologist said, the good news, he put me on a treadmill and said, run. And after 20 minutes, said, good news, you didn't have a heart attack. I said, great. I think I could have told you that. He said, maybe so. But this is the third time you've been hauled in here in the last 18 months. You're 52. Do you want to get older? I said, yeah. I said, well, you better change your life because stress is a major cause of cancer, heart attack, or stroke. Which would you like to have first?
So you choose off the menu.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And there's no guarantee that the one you choose is the one you're going to get. And I said, I don't want any of them. He said, then you've got to make some changes. And Joyce had qualified to go to goal training. We'd never done it. So we went back through Humans Being More. But I went with a purpose. I'm very serious about that. And then when we went through goal training, we went up to Calgary. And when I saw the people that were there, and I got talking to them, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? And got talking to what they were doing. And it resonated with me. And then I met Tony Scoma, And it was interesting because Tony Skoma had originally moved to Spokane to get into the insurance industry. Not too many people know that. And he was actually going to be in the same company I was with, and I knew the guy that had recruited him. And that guy went, when they turned Tony down for whatever reason, they didn't let him get into the business, but they didn't put him into the business. Tony was smart and went and started a Nikken business. And he did it from in a cold market from scratch. I mean, you move with your, I don't know, 9 or 10 children to he's living in Moses Lake, or not Moses Lake, but in Medical Lake, and or outside of that, and building in Spokane, you've got to make things happen. And he did. So I talked to Tony about what he had done and how he did that. And when the light bulb went on as to how network marketing truly worked, you know, and I realized it was not just going out trying to sell products. It was going out and building an organization. It was making a difference for other people. I told Joyce, I said, I can do that. And we came back from that, and we prayed about it, and I made the decision that that I was going to do this. And it was like a weight fell off my shoulders. And I remember I had a motorcycle at the time, and I rode it down to Vancouver to where the guy I had to report to was at, and asked him if I could. I called him up on a Thursday night and said, can we have coffee tomorrow morning, and rode down there and handed him my resignation. He said, I knew this is what was coming. I said, why? He said, number one, you never want to meet with me. And I said, I don't like wasting my time. So, but he said, you've been totally different. So what? I don't know what happened, but people said, Nigel's leaving. And people would come up to Joyce later, and I did it effective January 4th of 2000. And they'd say, what's happened to Tim? And, you know, you don't know how tight you're wound and how people are seeing you. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, he used to be just wound so tight, so on edge all the time. He said, you know, he's almost nice to be around now. So that's what got us into it, you know, and got a lot to learn and a lot of different things. But that's...
Tim, that's what was the transition for the business. What was your initial contact with Nikken? Was it a product experience with Joyce, or, I mean, how did that even come about and to lead up to where you are now as a President's Club member?
I was buying awards for my agents, and I saw a display of products, and I asked the guy, I said, hey, Buzz, what's this stuff? And he said, it's Nikken. I said, I've never heard of it. What do you mean? He said, well, it'll give you energy, strength, and balance. I said, great, I've got some oceanfront property outside of Moses Lake I'd like to sell. How much would you like to buy? And he said, who do you know that hurts? I said, my wife. And he gave me a mini and said, why don't you tell your wife to put this on the back of her hand and let's see what happens. So I think he gave me a pair of mag steps for her as well. Did not do any energy testing, didn't do anything like that, so I had nothing to know what it would do. So I took those up to her. I said, and Joyce at that time had been on a drug for 2.5 years or better. She had lost the use of her right hand. She could not make a fist. She could not make the hand go flat. And the doctors had just called her in and said, oh, we should have been doing this every 3 months, but we've got to draw blood and check your liver and kidneys to make sure they're still working. And that day I waltzed in with this mini and said, you know, Buzz says, if you'll put this on the back of your hand, it may help. So, well, what is it? So what's a magnet? Well, what's it going to do? I said, I have no idea. But let me ask you this. What do you have to lose? I said, well, you're right. I said, but it's ugly. We'll go outside with it. I said, no problem. Just wear it, put it on there, sleep with it at night. Let's see what happens. And she did that for 2 weeks, and I was painting and one day, and I spilled some paint, and I yelled, Joyce, I need a rag. And she came upstairs with a rag in her right hand and this smirk on her face, and she said, first time in over 2 years I've been able to wring out a rag with the right hand.
Wow.
I said, wow, maybe I was a little brash in asking, telling Buzz you're selling snake oil. So the next day I was back down in Olympia, and I said, hey, what do you got for bad ankles? That thing seems to work, and I need to pay you for them. And by the way, Joyce has lost the mag steps. I have no idea where they went. And she wouldn't wear them. And so I bought, he brought out a pair of it, and I said, I'll buy them. He's going to pay wholesale or retail. He said, no, I'm not. You're not getting me into any. I'm too cheap for that. I'm going to pay retail. I am at times my own enemy. So I bought the insoles. I took the orthotics out. I'd had an injured ankle that had been through MRIs, and we finally paid a lot of money to have orthotics made. I took the orthotics out. I put the insoles in my shoes, and I wore them. 5 weeks later, we were down here in Central Oregon and staying at Eagle Crest, and then I went out fly fishing to the Crooked River, and when I hit the water, I started throwing. I'm going, man, hasn't hurt shoes. In the tennis shoes are, they are not in my waders. When I got out of the river 2 or 3 hours, my tennis shoes back on and drove back to where we were staying. By the time I got there, my ankle didn't hurt. Mm-hmm. And I told her, we've got to go find out what this stuff's all about. And I went to a wellness preview in Tacoma, and I saw Dr. Lauren Finley during the presentation. He was talking about challenges and what got him through this and the sleep issues he had, and I saw all this array of products. Nothing like we have today, but it was 1996, so there's more things in there. And I looked and they were very friendly. They answered good, they didn't pressure us. They didn't, and that was what Joyce really was concerned, because we've been to a couple of meetings where really, really tried to put the screws to you and shame you into signing up. Nobody did that. And so we looked and I said, what do you think of that? She said, well, it's a lot of stuff. Through a Tuesday morning meeting, I think it was on a Tuesday night, which was what evolves in Tacoma. And I saw it there, and some people I had no idea. I think Chuck Branham was probably there. But I was there, and we talked a little bit and did what any red-blooded American male would probably do in that case. So I forged my wife's signature to become a distributor, because my track said I could not be in any other business, and because they would be if they found out about it. And the but I wanted to buy the products then at that time. And so Joyce, she started doing some and working with it. She started products and got a deck pack and career pack and got the things we needed. And it was, the time I got onto the demo bed, she'd been sleeping on it, and you need to try this. So I put over to my side of the bed and got on it, and I'd been on it about 15 minutes. I thought, oh, man, I pulled that hard, the old hard pillow. Oh, it's wonderful. Pulled that down and felt like, oh, died and gone to heaven. And the about 10, 15 minutes on it, I said, Joyce, what's the noise? I said, Tim, there's no noise. There's a noise. What's going on? And we were living in Auburn at that time. And about that time, my sinus broke open and drained. I had a sinus infection. And I have not had a sinus infection since August of 96.
Wow.
And I saw that. I said, this is great. I woke up on my back, which is something I'd never done before, and I'd been injured in Vietnam. I had a bad back, and doctors were just giving me pain pills and muscle relaxers when it would really flare up. But, I could run all day, but getting in the car and driving was the thing that hurt. When we got more products, we got car seats, we got this kind of thing, I've had no more problem with my back unless I do something and get the discomfort. But basically, I've not had another pain pill either. So that's what got us going, got us introduced to Nikan. It was all product. It was nothing about the business.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at things today, looking back, so it's been a 11-year career spent with Nikan at this point. There's obviously a highlight. You guys have transitioned from the greater Seattle area and Washington down to Central Oregon, so you had the liberty to do that. They're obviously, the stress level there in Nikan and network marketing, there just isn't. There's a complete lack of it. Do you ever miss that lifestyle?
No, not the high intensity that I was in before. I miss living in Washington because of, I'd rather be in eastern Washington than western Washington, because I like to hunt over there and I know a lot of people. And it'd be close to the only university in the state with glass, which is located in Pullman. That's, I can see my Cougars play, but that's not, I don't miss the stress of insurance, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've been called a couple times by people who've asked me to coach them with their insurance agencies, and when I see what they're doing, I'm going, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thought,
now, and I would also imagine that, you know, seeing where you are today and where the lifestyle that you enjoy to live, and you were down in Cancun at the La Vida Nican, I'm sure you won all kinds of trips during doing insurance, right?
Yes.
And yep. Compare and contrast an insurance weekend or at an event of that sort to what you experienced down in Mexico.
The event in Mexico was very relaxed. It was I love the fact that we had a that it was a leadership summit where we could talk about what's going on. We could see the vision of Nican. We had input as to, you know, with those little handheld devices where you could vote on what you liked and what you didn't like, and then to see the results that came back. That was the intriguing thing. I think it was the management was looking and working together with the field force for the benefit of Nican. Mm-hmm. And I would contrast that with the some of the things I went on in insurance. Was there were some very nice trips. I mean, to Bermuda and different places in Orlando and different things like that. But the one thing, and you always had to qualify for them or win them. In this instance, with Nican, when you qualify for it, you want it. With some of the things I was in insurance, you may have had all the numbers and qualified, but it got very political as to whether or not you won the trip, because maybe they'd only take three people from the state. And even though I was ranked always in the top three managers, there's a couple times when I didn't get it because I don't play politics well. Mm-hmm. And the somebody else got that trip. And I know a friend of mine told me one time, Nigel, if you just keep your mouth shut, you'd go to a lot more trips. So that was the thing, and that I saw that there's no politics in Nican. I mean, if you qualify, you go. And I like that. I think recognition, everybody wants recognition. They want to see, and when you earn it, you want to be able to get it. And no difference in the insurance, you want that. But you've got to go through that, and we've got to spend the time and do the recognition and give the rewards. And some people don't want to go on trips. That's okay. I enjoy them. Hmm. You know, we want to make things happen. And in this business, what I have found is, again, you know, this is a very forgiving business. I was telling Jeff Van Blarkum this the other night that I did things so wrong when I got into this business because I thought I knew it because of my insurance background and because I'd been putting people into business. And I was so far wrong. But, you know, if you don't quit, I think it's Dave Johnson said, you know, you get in and you don't quit and you keep working at it, you keep tweaking it, you keep looking, and you get around the people who are successful and take your advice from them and not from somebody who's not, and learn what's working and what and how to do it right, and be open. I know Ray Schwab, after my first year, actually, we were in 96. I consider I didn't get in until 2000. And I remember at the end of 2000, I was talking to Ray, and I said, what am I doing wrong? He said, well, you're not working as a team. You're trying to do everything yourself. And I knew that was my pattern, because in insurance, if I told another manager, here's what I'm doing, he'd turn around and use it against me and recruit the people that I was recruiting.
Oh,
so
sure.
We'd give a little bit of information, but we wouldn't tell them all the good things. We wouldn't give them the good fishing holes. We wouldn't tell them that kind of thing. But in Nican, you know, working as a team, when I finally got that through my head, it's really helped my business.
Now, Tim, speaking of team, you look at the people who've gone before us, and I want to remind everybody that here in a few minutes, about an hour from now, Ruth Williams will be hosting her Saturday morning call and developing, you know, a pattern of authorship and what it means to develop a team of your own and building your business. And I can't help but think that, you know, those words of what Ray said back then 6-7 years ago, how imperative that can be, because so many of us feel like, well, we can go out and do this, and, you know, come on, I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl, how difficult can this be? And it really isn't that difficult, but the age-old saying that, you know, when you're in business for yourself but not by yourself is a two-way street, in that, you know, we don't have to do it by ourselves, and we shouldn't do it by ourselves, never. and that we should allow those people who have gone before us. And it's the only industry that we have that opportunity. I mean, obviously, you know, as you described the insurance industry, nobody's going to go out and sell a policy for you. Nobody's going to go out and recruit other people for you. And then, you know, even if you bring them in, they're really not going to hold your hand and walk you through it unless they're getting a commission off of it. And whereas, you know, Nikan, it's a win-win for everybody. Tim, you're a recent member of the President's Club, and, you know, just as a reminder for folks, you know, you got to be a platinum, and you have to be paid as a platinum for 6 consecutive months. And then, on top of that, if that's not enough, you need to get a recommendation from 3 diamonds who are in the President's Club, and one of them needs to be in your upline. And looking now where things are at, what has been the change? And you've got to experience Cancun as a President's Club member, and there's obviously perks associated with that. So you'll be going to the Orlando Convention next October as a President's Club member, having your convention ticket paid for, your room and several meals at Nikan's expense. Besides the perks, what has that done for you? And again, I'm comparing and contrasting to the insurance industry because, you know, there's the million-dollar round table with certain insurance companies, and there's, you know, different levels and status that you can achieve. What has that done for you and your team, being part of that group?
Well, I'm really learning that. But what I've seen is it's opened the doors to a lot more people that maybe I would never have had a chance to have talked to, or maybe would not have taken the opportunity to talk to. I've had calls from people congratulating me, and then I've had a chance to talk with them. I met a lot of people down at Cancun that came up and talked, and I got to meet them, know them, find out where they were coming from, and it just opened up that network of experience, that network that allows us to learn and develop, and again, it builds on the philosophy, you know, the 5 pillars of health: the healthy mind, body, family, society, and finances. Balance. Well, dealing with these people and you and all the other folks in the President's Club that I've met, and finding out, here's the challenge I had, here's what I did about it, here's what I've been doing, here's how we work this out. Well, it just opens up that synergy of the minds working together. It's amazing, and to realize, because I'm sitting here in Bend, Oregon, and now that we've got Jeff Van Blarkum here, that's nice. I mean, he's a great resource to talk to. But there's a lot of people across the country. I was just on a call with name just flew out of my mind, but I've been able to open it up, grab the President's Club list if somebody has them, call them up and say, would you talk to this person about this area, or what do you have going on in that area? Oh, yeah, here's what we're doing. And do a 3-way call with them. And it's opened up that door, but that wealth of experience. And seeing these people that I've heard about, some of them I've never met, just down home good folk. You know, mm-hmm. It's just fun to be with them. And I think there's only 147, 149 people in the present. There's a lot of room available, and it's great. These are the people that are moving and shaking and getting it done. I want to be around them.
Well, and then there's also the fact that the members of the President's Club, you know, I like to use the phrase, we literally are able to help steer where the company is going. Every month we take part in a conference call and that interaction, and a lot of the stuff that we're seeing implemented now has either originated from the members of the President's Club or from Nikan's Executive Council, which is all made up of, if you're going to be on the Executive Council, you got to be in the President's Club because it's just a given to be one of those top producers. And, Tim, where do you see this thing going for you and for Joyce? Now, I know that, you know, you have a motto to serve, living to serve other people. You're helping to put your grandkids in private school. You just got to escape the cold temperatures of Central Oregon during Thanksgiving and head down to, you know, a warmer climate. Where do you see this going for you guys?
Well, I think the weather preceded us down to Texas because it was only about 45 to 50 degrees down there when we were there. I see it going that, you know, our next goal is to make diamond, but more than that is to help grow the business and help people to succeed in where they're at. we have a mission to do this because we want to do more things. We love to travel. We were in Europe for a month. Joyce has already got 3 more trips on the drawing board that she wants to do, which means we have to have the income to make that happen. And the income comes when we help other people to become successful. So we're laying that out first, to solidify all of those areas. And by solidifying it, you focus on the. I was asked this the other day. I said, the first thing you do is you make a decision. Then you make a plan based upon that's going to reflect that decision you just made, and then you execute it violently. And so we're sitting down doing exactly that, taking that planner, that 90-day planner, going through it to get Diamond out of the way by the end of this 90-day period, and to and then to just keep building the organization and getting underneath. One of the areas I found I was very weak on, and Ruth has really helped me, is getting down underneath my people and getting down deeper in different legs. And that's what we've got to do, is help build down below. We're doing a lot of work in that area to solidify that. I get such a charge out of this when you help see people succeed that are getting their results. That's the important thing. The hardest thing I had in insurance when I recruit and train people was that you'd see somebody that had a soup can full of talent, and they were only using maybe a thimble of it. You take somebody that was maybe not blessed with all that talent, but they were such a super overachiever. I love to see people succeed, and I think when we do that, and now with the balance that Nikan provides, again, I was so out of balance focusing on money when I was in insurance. And now working on maintaining that balance. You get out of balance now and then because we've got to run hard at certain times, but you're going to get back into balance. Mac and Pat talk about that. You run hard for 90 days, you can't keep doing it. You're going to have to either slow down and regroup and refresh and then go out again. I didn't do that in insurance. I tried to run hard all the time, and you can't do it. But doing this and helping to see people succeed is probably that psychic money income that comes from that, goes very well, and then that also creates the tangible money that we need that we can do good things with.
That whole phrase in itself, psychic money, or affecting the psyche, that we actually derive satisfaction and sustenance from serving people. It's the model that the greatest teacher that ever lived. And he took on 12 people, and one of them dropped out of the program. But when you live and you have a passion to invest in other people's lives and then watching them, and we started this call with a new gold in Indiana, Nina Dressler, who we got to spend this part of the summer up in a week in Alaska, and she she had a date to pull it off in August, and it didn't quite happen, and now she pulls it off with breaking 2 silvers, one underneath the other, and both those guys did 221 clubs back to back. But that opportunity to invest in other people, and again, I can't help but think with insurance it can only go so far. Tim, let me finish with this one last thought. What would you encourage people, that those of us who know people in the insurance industry, or people may be listening to this right now that are part of that industry, or maybe what is the one thing that is that magic bullet, if there could be such a thing, that key that would unlock people's paradigm and open their vision to see what Nikan has, compare and contrast to the lack, or what insurance maybe overpromised and underdelivered for you?
That's a great question. Both Joyce and I came from the insurance industry, and one of the things that used to turn us off big time was have somebody come in, a client or somebody else that knew us that had just got into network marketing, or at that time probably multi-level marketing, and want to come in and say, we can travel the world, we can be on the beaches, you can't get out of here. Don't you want to change that? Mm-hmm. And that would immediately turn me off, because even if things were really bad, I would never tell somebody that, because I did not have a relationship with that person for them to even ask that question.
Yeah.
So my recommendation is that when you're talking with somebody in that insurance industry, your insurance agent or somebody that's in that, is make a friend. Get to know them. Build the relationship first. Find out what's going on. Take them to coffee. Ask them, you know, what are you doing? How's the business? I mean, there's been a lot of tightening up in the insurance industry. When I moved to Olympia in 82, there were a lot of small independent agents around. And within about 8 years, all of those agencies were gone. They had been absorbed. They'd had to form alliances in order to survive, because the companies are coming out and saying, Vance, you know, if you don't do this amount of production in life insurance this year, we're going to have to terminate your contract. And I had friends up in Bellevue that insurance company came in and did that to a big agency in Bellevue, and I know the owner, and he promptly said, thank you, get out of my office, and he moved all of his people to another company. But a lot of people, you know, he had the intestinal fortitude to do that, but a lot of folks don't. So there's a lot of stress on some of those agents that are trying to do this. Meet with them, find out what's going on. Don't overpromise NECAN. Mm-hmm. You know, find out what's happening with them. Where are you going? And then ask them, you know, as you develop that relationship, and I think, who's the guy that, I'm not seeing his book right here, but anyway, he says sometimes you got to slow down in order to speed up your business.
Sure.
And so build the relationship first, and then ask that person, you know, hey, you got a way to create another income that would allow you to get out of that pressure cooker? You know, what if you find out that they're in a pressure cooker, what's going on with them? You know, would you give it any consideration? If they say no, back off. The one thing I like about the, you know, we talked about Christ and you know, he sponsored 12 and one left. He didn't go chasing after people that wouldn't listen to him, saying, hey, you got to listen to this. This is important. Yeah. He only taught those who wanted to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul in Antioch did the same thing. He'd go out and he'd preach. Some people would hear him, hear the message, and want to come in. Others would look and laugh at him and say, this is crazy. And other people would want to stone him. But he didn't chase after the scoffers. He didn't chase after those or didn't try to convince those that were doing that. He just worked with the ones that said, hey, this makes sense. I want to know about it. And we need to do the same thing. We need to look and offer it. And if people aren't ready, I think Dave Stolz said, you know, if you prospect 52, you're probably going to eliminate 40 that aren't going to be there.
Sure.
But don't chase them. Just work with those 12. And then when the timing is right, the others will come back in. Yeah. Or they may come back in, and some of them may not. But that's okay. We only need to work with those that want to make it. I was talking to a mortgage broker yesterday, and he said in the office next to his, the building next to his, there were, they just built it, beautiful building, but they haven't finished it. And he said they started with 30-some mortgage brokers in there. Today there's 9.
Wow.
And he said, you know, I feel in this business that probably only 2.5% of the people that ever enter it will make money as a mortgage broker or capable of running it. That, you know, that's probably not much different than in network marketing or in insurance. I mean, when you look at insurance, a lot of people that start agencies, I've told them before, you got to go to work for Safeway, you make more money. And you know, you can't look at somebody, and what we can't do is I can't look at a person that I'm connecting with. I like to get rid of the word prospecting and say I'm connecting. I can't talk to that person and get to know them right away and see how big their heart is. Because if the heart's not there, they're not going to build this business.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to help see the connection, help them see what their vision is for what they want their life to look like. And that how NECAN as a vehicle is going to get them where they want to go.
You know, Tim, and that's so imperative, and I couldn't help but think that the last person that my parents actually met when they were down in Mexico ended up sponsoring her, the gal from New York, and that to her comment to them was, are you ever going to sponsor me? Because they were building that relationship and working on that, investing time into that before it really even, you know, presented the opportunity as far as a distributorship. And her mentality was, you know, your style isn't going to work here in New York. You're not aggressive enough. And, you know, isn't that a great thing to have somebody say to us, you're not aggressive enough, rather than saying, hey, you know, come on, quit. I can't hear you because your actions are killing me. And that's so true, and that we it's imperative that we build the relationship with people. And I think that really, honestly, when it comes down to it, people see our lives, and they see what the five pillars of health is all about, and that we're not killing ourselves to pursue, you know, the next goal or the next step or whatever, that really will shine through. So, Tim, I can't help but think you've been a huge asset, not only to me. You shared several things that I'm going to, you know, nuggets that I'm going to walk away with from this chat that we've had. And I appreciate your time, and I appreciate getting up early, because it's not normal for people on the West Coast to be up and having their brain functioning at 7 a.m. So now you can go back and watch the snow fall, which should be falling in your part. It hasn't quite
yet. It is a beautiful blue sky out here, high. There's one cloud up there. I was out earlier. I was roasting coffee earlier this morning, and then had to pull, you know, six shots of espresso just to get going. So,
oh, well, I know the snow's coming. It's supposed to have like 12 to 20 inches this weekend.
Yep.
In the Cascades.
Yep.
So enjoy it. Well, again, Tim, thank you so much. I want to remind everybody that Janet Robinson from, I want to say Georgia, will be with us next weekend.
South Carolina,
that's right. Background in corporate America, doing the typical, you know, 40 to 60 hour a week job. And then 2 weeks from this morning, we have Bo and Cindy Buck. And I want to encourage you, if you've got people who are athletic, that are part of the even, you know, amateur or professional sports industry. Bo was a professional, I don't know if you want to call it professional, but rugby player into his 40s, and Nikken Technologies allowed him to do it. And then Cindy spent several years as a professional ski instructor. So I want to encourage people to, if you've got people in the sports industry or that are extremely athletic, that would be a great one to tune into. So want to remind everybody, today is December 1st. We've got another full month, another 31 days to take advantage of the 300 Nikken bucks that Nikken is giving away for anybody that advances to senior. And just as a reminder that you piggyback several people on top of each other. And what I mean by that, if you sponsor somebody who sponsors somebody who sponsors somebody, the person on the bottom goes senior, and everybody up above, those two others, if they've done their, you know, $500, and they get locked in, and all three of those people, even though the one on the bottom is the one that really made it to the rank of senior, everybody gets pushed up, all three of them get that 300 Nikken bucks to take advantage of free product in January. So let's hit the month hard. And again, Ruth Williams in 45 minutes, same call, same code, and learn about the not only the basics of autoship, but what we can do to establish that from the get-go to build a huge organization. So, Tim Nihil, thank you again for the time, and I want to wish everybody a wonderful weekend. Stay warm, and we'll talk to you next Saturday. Goodbye, everybody.